our churches, we have such a missions heart. And this Sunday in particular is really neat, at least for me, to see those two things highlighted. Alyssa is going to come and share her story in just a second. But one thing I love about hearing missionaries speak is they are terrified of speaking. They feel at home in the dirt, in the mud, in the sun, and they feel completely out of place speaking in front of people that love them and support them. And so this being a family church, we're just going to treat Alyssa like family, like we're sitting around the dinner table hearing her story. It is a really neat story, and it's one worth listening to. I've known Alyssa for, well, since you've been here. What year did y'all come here? 98. And to see her on the mission field and to know her background, I let you guys know you're in for a treat this morning. So, Alyssa, will you come up? And she's already...
I'm, first of all, we're going to, just a little quick video if it plays, just to kind of show you the place I'm going. It gives you kind of a view of what it looks like. Thank you. So for those of you who don't know me, my name is Alyssa. I've been here, like Scott said, probably about 17 years now, since 98. For those of you who don't know me, just a little bit of background. I have been raised in a Christian home in a Christian church. My family, both maternal and paternal grandparents, are Christians. My parents are Christians. I've been raised in a church. When I was a little bitty, my dad was going through seminary, and then he took his first pastoral job when I was 3 or 4 in a little town in Kamado. And for 7 years, my sister and I watched my parents throw themselves into that ministry there. They did everything. My dad pastored, obviously, but they were involved with children's groups and youth and women and the men there. And during that time, and also a couple of times before I was born, my dad had the opportunity to go on some mission trips around the world, really. And so missions has never really been strange to our family. When I was 10, my parents felt called to be missionaries. We moved, first of all, to Costa Rica to learn Spanish, and then we were there for about a year. Then we moved to Bolivia for about 6 or 7 years. And our job there, my parents were church planters, and my mom really helped keep the fort at home, and she homeschooled my sister and I, and she helped serve in the church there in Kamiti. My dad was more involved in the villages around Kamiti. He would go out and preach. I know that we at least built one roof for a church in a little town or village called Huirapayeti. And so I was able to go with him several times on those times he would go out into the villages. And I just remember having fun. I mean, it was uncomfortable. I mean, we slept on benches and woke up with chickens under our beds, but, you know, it was fun. And in my child mind, that was more of an adventure, but it planted a seed. And in 98, we were called home and been here ever since then. So fast forwarding a little bit, in 2000, oh, I forgot. Sorry, I told you I'd forget this. But when we got home, we had several opportunities to work with a native missionary in Mexico, and we went 6 or 7 times that I went for sure, and there were other times that I didn't get to go. And so we've had missions just surrounding our family and our church. In 2013, I graduated from nursing school and passed my licensing exam, and that was a miracle in itself. But so I'm really still a baby nurse. I've only been a nurse for 3 years. I won't talk about my first job. That's really kind of irrelevant to what I'm talking about. But my last job was, I worked in hospice. And I loved hospice. The area was emotionally difficult, but I loved my patients, and I loved their families, and I loved the time that I got to just sit and get to know them and be able to care for them more than just knowing their name, their diagnosis. And I also had been blessed with an amazing work family. My colleagues, my boss, and my supervisor, and many of the nurses I worked with were Christians. And we would pray before every meeting. Anytime we got together, we prayed. And for me, coming from the hospital setting where, you know, I'm really not allowed to talk about my faith unless somebody else brings it up, I was able to have that spiritual connection with the people I worked with, and that was huge. That was definitely a breath of fresh air. I worked with hospice for 1.5 years. I had every intention of staying for years. I'm getting a lot of feedback, sorry.
You want to try this mic, or...?
I'm just hearing myself echo. I'm sorry, it's distracting. So I worked in hospice for about 1.5 years. In December of this past year, the focus didn't change. I was still serving patients, and I was still doing what God had called as far as my ministry. But I felt God pushing me towards moving on, and I fought back, and I wrestled with it, and first thing I said was no, because I thought I was supposed to be there for years, and you can't say no to God for very long. He keeps pushing back, and finally I said, you know what, God, I just need a sign, And within that week, even just a couple of days, we found out that my company had been sold. And I even had some of the nurses I was working with tell me, you asked for a sign, you got it. But, you know, you always want that golden sticky note in your Bible to say, yeah, this is the next step. But I knew what God was wanting me to do. My stress and my anxiety was, where do I go? I have no backup plan. I have no desire to work in any other area. I even looked at jobs online to see if there was anything I'd be interested in, and nothing. But I still had that small voice that said, you know what, just trust me. So I finally prayed, you know what, God, I'm willing, and I will if you want me to, but you're going to have to shut the door. And he did. He very clearly shut the door. So I put in my notice. I worked for them for another month, and still no word on what I was supposed to do until the day that I was supposed to leave hospice. I get a random text message from my dad. He, just a side note, he is involved in a well drilling ministry. He and Terry Waller, a missionary, go down to Africa. And so I get this random text message from my dad. He was staying the night in a place he hadn't planned on going. And he said, I'm right next to the Nile. It's an orphanage / hospital. Here's the website. Check it out. I want to tell you about it. My first response was absolutely not. No. Once again, you can't say no to God for long. I prayed about it. I prayed that if this was what God wanted for me, that he would change my heart. He definitely changed my heart. And the moment I knew that it was what I was supposed to do, I had gone to visit a friend of mine in Houston. I needed the weekend away to just not think about what I was supposed to do next, have fun. And that Sunday, we went and visited her church, random church in Montgomery, Texas. And the pastor preaches on missions and following God's call and going. It was definitely a slap in the face, you know. But I had the peace. I had a sudden peace that, you know, this is what I was supposed to do. Growing up as a Christian, you always hear Matthew 28:19, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. And I'm not saying I never read them, but I never really paid attention to the verse before to the verse after it. And during that sermon, he really spoke on those two verses. And the verse before it says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. So that was God saying, I'm the one in control. I'm the one who's got the plan. You need to go. And, you know, you're kind of afraid because it's something you've never done before. But he includes in there that teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. And sitting there in that church, I heard Jesus say, I'm already there. Come join me, you know. So it's a family over there too. So I'm going to Uganda. That's my story. I'd like to tell you a little bit about Restoration Gateway. It's the, didn't mean to get emotional there.
Don't apologize.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about Restoration Gateway. I'm going in kind of blind because everything you saw there, that has been built since 2005. In fact, you can put that picture up. These are the missionaries. This is Dr. Tim McCall and his wife Janice. He's actually a surgeon. He and his wife were missionaries in Nigeria for years. And in 2005, they went over to this land, and it's Restoration Gateway. They bought the land, and in 2007, they moved down after they'd gotten the road built and everything. And they still live in them, but they live in storage bins, those big metal storage bins that you see, and they live there. And they went down to start a hospital, which is what they did in Nigeria, if I'm correct. When they got there, they were in the midst of a civil war, and they saw a need for an orphanage because many of the children were left without parents. And so they've started an orphanage. You can click through if you want. The next picture you'll see, this up at the top, that's still Dr. Tim McCall and Janice, and these are the board of directors for Restoration Gateway. And then I've just got some pictures. Obviously, I've never been there, but there's a map, and on their website, and I'll give you the website later on, you can put the GPS coordinates in it, and it can take you there on Google Maps, and you can actually see the buildings that they've got built. This is one of the orphan homes. They have 15 built right now, I believe, and each orphan home houses 8 to 10 orphans, and they also, they employ the Ugandan people to be the house parents, and 90% of the house parents are widows. So the widows who may not be able to find work or a place to live or a job have all of that and are able to help take care of these kids and give them the love that they lack. They also have a school. I don't know. Yeah, it's called, it's on their website. I'm going to give you that. I can't remember the name of the school, but they have 12 classes. They right now are going to an equivalent of a fourth grade level, but what they teach the kids, they don't only teach them the subjects, math, science, all these, they also teach them agriculture and how to grow things and how to make a living. My dad would know more about these than I, but I believe that's the gymnasium. They have a sports field with a soccer field. And so the orphans will have a home. They'll be surrounded by love. They will also have health care, education, and they just dedicated a building for dental. And dental work in Uganda is very scarce. In fact, I read one place where it said it's like one dentist to the entire city of Atlanta or Austin. So it's a great need, but they have a facility here, and they don't only do it for the children, they also do it for the villagers. And I'm not sure if I have any more pictures on there. This is just an aerial view. The orphan houses are in kind of circles. They call them pods. And I think that's just a sports field. These are really just pictures to show you kind of where I'm going. I know the video is very small. This is just what I'm thinking I'll be doing. I'm going down for 6 months, and this plan, they're trying to start a hospital. They're starting it in 3 phases. The first phase was to build it, but now they're in the first phase, and it's outpatient clinics, and they do it out of the buildings that already exist. I didn't have a picture of those. I apologize. But phase 2, they will have kind of an outpatient surgical ward, and then phase 3, they will have a full running hospital. They're planning on having a 170 to 180 bed hospital. But right now they're doing outpatient clinics, which is what I think I'll probably be doing most of my time there. But, you know, if God calls me down there just to love on kids for 6 months, I'm okay with that too. But, yeah, now I guess if y'all want to ask questions or I'll answer them the best I can.
Does anybody have any questions?
I am leaving next Sunday. I'm leaving next Sunday, and I will be back around November 22nd. So,
John,
do you have to raise your own support?
It is a voluntary position, so it is self-funded. Yes, sir.
We'll talk about that when she's not up here. Any other questions?
I think confidence, because like I said, I still consider myself a baby nurse, and the the lie that Satan has in my head is, what difference can you make, you know? But they have me going through a devotional book, and do you mind if I share another verse with you? Do you mind if I read out of the Bible in church?
Not that kind of church.
If I can find it real quick, give me just a moment.
Let me talk about that while she's looking this up. I've known Alyssa for a long time, and she is one of the most humble people I've ever met, to the point where she is shy and lacks confidence sometimes. And it was really cool when she came into my office and shared to me that she just lit up, and not for the first time, but for the most recognizable time that I have known her, to see the confidence in the talents that God has given her, and her being able to go do exactly what God has called her to do was really neat to see. To see that she had confidence in that calling. So that was really cool.
That's been my prayer. What difference can I make? For a year and a half, honestly, I've given 2 injections, and I've put in, I've done some other very simple nursing things. So I haven't done a lot of hands-on nursing in about a year and a half, just because in hospice, you do symptom management, and it's a lot of emotional support and being there for the family for anything they need, but a lot of the hands-on just kind of, you don't do a lot of it. So in my reading, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 1 through 5. It's Paul, and he said, "When I came to you, brothers, I did not come with eloquence or superior wisdom as I proclaimed to you the testimony about God. For I resolved to know nothing while I was with you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. I came to you in weakness and fear and with much trembling. My message and my preaching were not wise and persuasive words, but with a demonstration of the Spirit's power, so that your faith might not rest on men's wisdom, but on God's power." And that was God just saying, I'm going to use you. I'm going to use you the way I need to. And whatever that is, you know, that was me saying, okay, you know what you're doing, you know. But confidence and just stepping back and letting him use me rather than trying to take control. So.
Alyssa likes to be in control.
Oh, yeah.
Anybody else?
Are there last-minute things that you need this week?
You know, I've been blessed with parents who have done this. How many times did we come back and forth from Bolivia? And so as far as items, I've got really everything I need. What I need is prayer support. And just, you know, Scott asked me about how am I doing with my anxiety. And honestly, I'm surprised at how well I'm doing with my anxiety, because normally about this time I'd be freaking out, you know, that I've made a 6-month commitment. But every time I get to that point, every time I feel like, what am I doing? What have I done? You know, I get a text message or I get an email with encouragement. Random people, a random man in Idaho called me because my dad had shared that I was going, and I've met him once, maybe twice, I don't know, but it was a long time ago, and he just wanted to call and encourage me. And it's little things like that that God has used to just, you know, keep my confidence and my excitement about this thing. So prayer, please. Yes. As far as that goes, if they ask that you donate through Restoration Gateway, because it's hard to, well, one, space-wise, but being able to provide them anything donated to Restoration Gateway, they are very devoted or committed to using that just for the kids and the Ugandan people that they're trying to help. So I'm going to try to give you the website here in a minute. I had it pre-printed and I misspelled it. So it is restorationgateway.org, but I had switched 2 letters because I'm dyslexic. And
we'll have that on the church website
as
well.
Yeah. But if you want to make donations to the children, they have contacts through Restoration Gateway, and they can help you with that better than I could. I don't know if that answered your question at all. Okay. Yes, ma'am. In fact, I'm trying to keep up a blog. I am not very good at journaling or writing, but I've had several people ask me to blog my trip. I will be keeping a blog. I do have those, and those are correct. I'll also have Scott put it on the website. My mom can put it in the bulletin next week. It'll be my blog. I'm also on the back table in both foyers. I've got a sign-up sheet. I'm going to try to do a newsletter, too. And if you want to provide me with your email address or whatever, I can try to send you an email, too, a newsletter.
Lee, when you return in November, do you envision that as a permanent return, or is that a respite from?
That's a good question, and my parents need to close their ears, but I'm open to whatever God wants me to do, you know? I know it's hard on my family with me going over there, and probably in their minds they're like, okay, 6 months, we'll have her home. But, you know, this, it's very possible that this is my calling, and I've just learned in the last month or two that you just have to step back, be obedient, and obey, and if that's what he wants, then I'm open for it.
Your mom's eyes are huge right now.
This is a big step for all of us, and so if y'all don't mind praying for my parents too and my sister, I know that they're kind of struggling with the idea of me being so far away. So if y'all could keep them in your prayers too. Okay, thank you.
Normally when a missionary comes and speaks, I follow directions, but Alyssa asked me to not say anything about financial stuff, but we're good.